this revelation.
This is a conspiracy.
The New World Order.
This is a conspiracy.
The New World Order.
Google me, bitch! Google me!
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. It is March 4th, 2024. So if you haven't heard, Trump leads Biden in national matchup in the race for president of the United States. So today, in my Sunday review of the mainstream media, we're going to hear from CBS Face the Nation pollster Anthony Salvante, and he's going to tell us what's driving Trump's lead. Well, it's the economy, stupid. They're going to keep looking at abortion. Then we're going to look at a clip from Sunday Morning Propaganda where they try to prop up failing lawfare against Trump, trying to say that somehow it's constitutional or there's nothing to look at here in terms of several cases lodged against a candidate for president of the United States. So we're also going to tear into the Sunday New York Times, show how the newspaper continually misleads the public by mischaracterizing the facts. So we're going to do that. But don't forget to like, subscribe, engage the channel, leave a comment, and share the podcast. So let's get into the headlines. All right, we're going to start out here in the age of intercepts. The CIA makes the case for spies. This is the New York Times doing an article on a podcast that the CIA has come up with to try to sell what the CIA does. Eavesdropping on communications provides limited insight. The agency's espionage chief argues in a new podcast, only humans could tell the full story. In this article by Julian Barnes, it goes on to say intelligence gathering today relies on electronics eavesdropping, like the New York Times said previously about Donald Trump during his campaign. It was wiretapping, and then they argued that it wasn't wiretapping because they do not actually tap wires anymore. It's an electronic eavesdropping on calls, text messages, as well as high-resolution satellite images. In a new podcast, the CIA argues that even in the age of artificial intelligence and ubiquitous intercepts, which are unconstitutional and illegal, human sources are still more important than ever. Why? And I'll get into this. Only with the human source can intelligence officers make proper sense of intercepts and understand context of overheard conversations. Now, where did we hear this before? We heard this before when the intelligence services were talking about social media and that how people were used to develop and understand context of your social messages. But AI is doing that now as well, but they don't quite go into that at length. Next article up, Aging Bridge is a flashpoint in competitive Washington State House race. Representative Mary Perez is running on a fixing one of the busiest bridges in the region. Her far right opponent, if you don't know Joe Kent, calls it a superhighway. And they go on to say, Mr. Kent, who denies the legitimacy of the 2020 election and has referred to those jailed for taking part in the January 6, 2020 attack on the Capitol as political prisoners, has branded the reconstruction of this specific bridge from the infrastructure bill that was bloated, that a lot of it didn't go to infrastructure, went to the Green New Deal. But there were two bills they renamed. One was the Anti-Inflation Act, which was the Green New Deal, and one was Infrastructure Act, which was the Green New Deal. He has claimed that the proposed project, which includes light rail and tolls, will bring unwanted urban elements from Portland into the car-centric, predominantly white community of Clark County, Washington, effectively serving as an expressway for Portland's crime and homeless into Vancouver. He wrote on social media. And of course, they're trying to blame him or trying to portray him as some sort of racist. And he goes on to point out that most of Antifa and the crime element in Portland isn't of color anyway. It's white. And so crime is crime. Doesn't matter who goes on to cover it. So what else do we have going on here? Racial turnout. I screwed up a couple things here, so just bear with me if you don't mind. So the next headline up was racial turnout gap has widened with a weakened Voting Rights Act study finds. The black share of the electorate has been on the rise for decades, but in some counties, a Supreme Court decision in 2013 changed that, according to a new analysis, and I'm going to point out why that's wrong. Sorry, I didn't change the ticker. So also basically what this story was about I'm sorry, I was, as usual, ill-prepared. I get this. According to the group's report, the turnout gap between black and white voters, and if you're watching, you could see that according to AP Style, they're still capitalizing black, but not white. I don't know why that is. It's if you're, but in any case, I gotta digress. White and black voters in that, and I'm just gonna point out what's wrong here. In those former Section 5 counties has grown by 11 percentage points since the Shelby decision between 2012 and 2022. Remember those dates? The study relied on nearly 1 billion voter files to estimate that. Had the decision never occurred, the white-black turnout gap would have nevertheless grown, but just by 6 percentage points, and now they're blaming the other 4 percentage points on this decision. Though the difference may appear small, the study's authors contend that such gaps are potentially huge in modern politics. Since 2012, at least 62 elections for Senate, governor, and president in states with Section 5 counties were decided by under 5 percentage points. And I just want to go on to say that the problem with this is that 2013, or was it 2014, that was Obama's re-election, the reason there was such high black turnout vote was for Obama's first term, where all the black community turned out to vote for the first black president, as well as many whites. But that's what people have to understand, is that it's not because of this decision. It's because you had the most voter turnout from the black community for the first election of Barack Obama. It's been, well, the gap has been growing ever since, just because, and you could understand why black community might feel disenfranchised, but maybe the white community feels more enfranchised or more can control by voting. You shouldn't shirk your civic responsibility and your ability to vote, whether you're black or white or whatever. Next article up here, migration from South America through the perilous Darien Gap resumes. Excuse me. On Friday, boat companies began operating in Colombia after a five-day pause, allowing migrants to once again make their way through the notorious jungle terrain and towards the U.S. border. The reason this thing happened was the pause is an increasingly large migration flow was the result of an arrest operation led by the Colombian prosecutor's office, in which two captains driving boats full of migrants headed to jungle were taken into custody, where they remain, according to the prosecutor's office. The office said that the captains had been transporting individuals illegally, in part because the migrants, illegal immigration, did not carry proper documentation. Illegal immigration, illegal aliens. The captains work for two boat companies, Catamaranus and Caribe, that for years have been playing an essential role in the carrying of migrants, illegal immigrants, from northern Colombia community of Necalí, about 2 hours across the Gulf to the entrance to the jungle, which they must then cross to get to Central America and eventually the United States. Yeah, the reason you have this flow is because NGOs, first, you have the American government opening the border, so the border's open. And then you have NGOs and the UN organizing the migration routes which the people could go. And it's not just all on foot through the jungle, it is, but they ride trains, they get ferry boats, as it's shown here. And this didn't do much to curtail the flow anyway. So they're acting like, oh, they're trying to curtail the flow, and they go in and talk about migrants without proper documentation, which makes them illegal immigrants. Next story up here, voters doubt Biden's leadership and favor Trump. Time, Siena poll finds, and I believe warning lights flash for Biden was the original headline for this poll. The share of voters who strongly disapprove of President Biden's handling of the job has reached 47%, higher than in Time Siena polls at any other point in his presidency. He's down in the lower 30s of approval. And they go on to say President Biden is struggling to overcome doubts about his leadership inside his own party and broad dissatisfaction over the nation's direction, leaving him trailing behind Donald J. Trump just as their general election contest is about to begin. A new poll by the New York Times and Siena College has found, with 8 months left till the November election, Mr. Biden's 43% support lags behind Mr. Trump's 48% in the national survey registered voters. And what you have to understand here is, again, margin of error is 3%, and I always add that to Trump. So with the margin, it would make it 51% against Biden's 40%. That's a 10-point lead. That's the margin of error. So you should always use the margin of error, which way to skew it is as Trump is more popular, not less popular. Another headline from the New York Times, Trump says a little on Gaza and nothing about what he'd do differently. Donald Trump's approach to the bloody Mideast conflict reflects an anti-interventionist shift he has brought about in the Republican politics. It's not him, really. It's the Tea Party and the populist right at large, libertarian right. They don't want new wars. They don't want to profit the military-industrial complex, and his personal feelings about Israeli prime minister. And we'll just go into the story a bit. He criticized Benjamin Netanyahu and then retreating. And the point being here is also is that Trump doesn't have to have a position just yet on this. And he goes on to say that Trump has, so you have this war that's going on and you're probably going to have to let it play out. You're probably going to have to let it play out because there are a lot of people dying. His main advice to President Netanyahu and Israelis, he says, was to do better job with public relations because the Palestinians were beating them at public relations front. Well, because it's a bit of a genocide. It's a tough rope to walk. Mr. Trump's handoff approach anti-interventionist shift in the Republican Party over the past 8 years, because the populist middle-class conservative doesn't want war because they're not part of the investment class. Mr. Trump offered no substantive criticism of Mr. Biden's response to Hamas invasion and Israelis' retaliation in Gaza. Instead, he has pinned the blame and the entire crisis on Mr. Biden's weakness and, of course, said that it wouldn't have happened under Trump's term as Trump as president. Going into the opinion pages, how the media, or this is from the business, excuse me, how the media industry keeps losing the future. And basically what they're saying here is that the newspapers, it's been seen, thought they were going to shift to online, and now they're getting killed online because they can't charge as much online as they can for print advertisement, and all the advertisers are fleeing print anyway. And so basically the corporations that bought the media are now killing the media. And what's not helping is the media's, the traditional mainstream media's competition is people like me and other people that are offering the news, but you have to have people out there reporting. So even people like me or other people referring to news, that's what AI is going to do. AI is going to just aggregate the news from people who collect it and then put it out. Jessica Gross said, could Swifties or Trekkies, the original headline was just Swifties, decide the election? Well, they had to change it or Trekkies because they're trying to say that common fandom has something to do with getting people elected only on the left. Basically, what they're just saying is enter fandoms, which are subcultures organized around devotion to specific cultural passions, from Beyonce to sneakers to cult classic TV shows. And that's why Trump put out that sneaker is appealing to fandom or fandoms, but the left tries to do that most. That's what they did with Barbie and what they're doing with Taylor Swift. And they're all of a sudden they're going to pin Joe Biden with Barbie pink. And then, you know, he's going to get all the, you know, tweenies that are 18 or the teenagers that, or even the people that, you know, because the whole Barbie thing was some sort of sophisticated propaganda op where you could just tie that color to anything you want to sell. Another opinion piece, crisis in teaching constitutional law. And the deal with this, of course, was the fact is that they're trying to convince you that the Supreme Court is not taking on the constitutional basis of deciding the law. The Supreme Court's power to say what the Constitution means, indeed. And that's why we like to elect originalists that say that the original meaning behind the Constitution is what should be interpreted, not a progressive way. Then you need to read and discuss the cases and set precedents from different parts of the Constitution, the Commerce Clause, presidential powers, due process, equal protection, and so on. Finally, you get to study how the court balances individual liberties against the government's need to act in the public interest. And that's not it at all. The Constitution upholds individual liberties. And the Constitution was put there as the hedge against mob rule and democracy. So it's not the government's need to act. The government is filled with representatives of the people. And when the people need to decide to make a law to address a certain issue or crisis, it's not the government's need to act to protect public interest. It's the state in a republic governed by the representatives, which was supposedly governed by the people, to act, but in such a manner that you're not going to trample on the individual rights while taking care of one problem, you're not going to impede on the rights of other people. And then another opinion piece, why Saddam Hussein has called why authoritarians like Saddam Hussein confound U.S. presidents. Now, this isn't true at all, of course, because the actual headline is here, why authoritarians sacrifice their power. So the whole argument in this headline is they were trying to say that Saddam Hussein made the United States think it had weapons of mass destruction when it really didn't. And this is so far from the truth at all. Because that's what they say in here. Why did Mr. Hussein sacrifice his long reign in power and ultimately his life by creating an impression that he held dangerous weapons that he did not? He didn't. He continually said, we don't have any. It was the United States that kept Colin Powell waving the yellow cake and saying, Saddam Hussein, look at the trucks here. He's making chemical weapons. And even if he did, he moved them to Syria way before the inspectors even came in. So that was just a false premise that he did that. So then we're going to move into the clips, one from Sunday morning here about Trump's trials. Then they have these nitwits in from some law school, obviously leftist, a Jewish gentleman and some black girl. And they're trying to say how, you know, everything, there's nothing to see here. Everything's fair. Everything's fair when obviously it's not fair. It's without a doubt legal prosecution and persecution of a presidential candidate that they don't want in office in an election year. And not to mention that some of these cases, he might not be eligible to even be prosecuted because of immunity that the president enjoys. So let's go into first, let's go into this one about the Trump trials, which it has these two legal nitwits trying to offer some sort of excuse while he's a presidential candidate who obviously the establishment doesn't want in office, brought about 9 legal cases in an election year. So let's see what they have to say.
He spent more time in courtrooms than perhaps any presidential candidate or former president in American history.
Hey.
A criminal trial of a former U.S. president, Donald J. Trump. To be clear, Donald Trump is no stranger to the legal system. But what makes this a defining moment, say Weissman and Murray, is that he is facing 91 criminal charges in 4 different courtrooms.
What? In New York, in the so-called Hush Money case, Trump is accused of falsifying business records. In Washington, D.C. and Georgia, for allegedly conspiring to overturn the 2020 election.
And in Florida, for keeping classified documents at his Mar-a-Lago property. And what's at stake now for Donald Trump? Because overshadowing this tangle of trials is the fact that defendant Trump is also candidate Trump.
I think the country is going to rue the day that we ever traveled down this road.
Robert Ray, a former federal prosecutor, successfully defended Trump when he first faced impeachment in late 2019.
What federal prosecutors want is they want the public to come to accept that the defendant was afforded fairness. No. I think that there's a good percentage of the country right now that doesn't believe that.
And that is why Professors Weissman and Murray put together what they say is an impartial guide to the Trump indictments.
There are facts that are disputed in federal cases, and our job is to...
United States of America versus Donald Trump, being heard in Washington, D.C.
Blowjob!
Today, an indictment was unsealed.
Blowjob!
Charging Donald J. Trump with conspiring to defraud the United States.
Blowjob!
Last August, Jack Smith, a special counsel appointed by Attorney General Merrick Garland, charged Trump with conspiring with others to interfere with the results of the 2020 presidential election.
Blowjob!
The sort of gist of it is that you have a plot to disrupt the counting of the votes.
Like this one, accusing Democrats of stuffing ballot boxes. Smith also alleges the defendant lied to the Georgia Secretary of State to induce him to alter Georgia's vote count in that now famous telephone call on January 2nd, 2021.
I just want to find 11,000
780 votes, which is one more than we have.
But former Trump attorney Robert Ray says a jury may hear that phone call differently.
Finding votes doesn't necessarily mean find me 11,000 fraudulent votes.
And adds that Donald Trump will argue he was exercising his right to free speech.
There's no First Amendment protection.
What?
But that speedy trial that was scheduled to begin in a federal courtroom in Washington, D.C. tomorrow, ran into a roadblock earlier this year after Trump's lawyers made a claim Donald Trump asserts he's protected from prosecution by presidential immunity. While that claim was initially thrown out by a federal appeals court, Trump asked the Supreme Court to weigh in. And in a win for Trump, just this past week, the justices agreed to hear arguments on the case in April.
There's no question that it is desirable politically for Donald Trump to delay these cases until after the election, for obvious reasons. He's entitled to take that position.
But as much as they have tried, Donald Trump's lawyers have not been able to delay or dismiss this case, the people of the state of New York against Donald Trump.
Under New York state law, it is a felony to falsify business records.
Election fraud.
The defendant claimed that he was paying Michael Cohen for legal services performed in 2017. This simply was not
treason.
Jurors chosen for Trump's trial will likely remain anonymous.
What?
And no cameras will be allowed inside the courtroom. What's more, unlike his previous civil trials, Donald Trump will be required to be in here instead of on the campaign trail.
They cheat.
This is about defending his rights, him showing up in court and being able to mount a vigorous defense to the charges against
him. That won't keep him from holding court outside, as he did after a recent hearing.
Nobody's ever seen anything like it in this country. It's a disgrace.
Is he going to try to use this case as part of his campaign message?
Of course he will. He has done that with regard to every other stage of these prosecutions. Why would the trial be any different?
Manhattan D.A. Bragg has already asked the judge to rein Trump in with a partial gag order.
They cheat.
But Ray blames the prosecutors for taking a candidate to trial just months before a presidential election.
They cheat.
Are you saying that former...
No. But I'm saying that the unusual circumstance that we find ourselves in is that we've got four pending indictments in an election cycle. That is a result that I think most people would agree is undesirable. I think there are questions about whether or not Donald Trump can get a fair trial in the District of Columbia, as there are whether or not he can get a fair trial in Manhattan, given the potential juries.
I think very few jurors go into there like, I'm a Democrat, I'm a Republican, and I think they go in there like,
if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, and you ain't black.
But if I see tens of thousands of ballots being manipulated, I can't go along with that.
Hey, yeah, well, there you go. You had two law professor nitwits, obviously leftists, trying to push a book to show you in the indictment exactly what was happening there. Just ridiculous. But then you had a Trump lawyer and he came in and said, you know, he has a legal right to fight and the American people know what's going on here. Here's a legal persecution here of a candidate threatening to put him in jail on the eve of an election that he would surely win. So we're going to look at a couple things on Face the Nation. They had a bunch of different people on, including Mayorkas. I'm not going to bore you with that. But what I am going to show here is what they had in a poll. So they're going to have Anthony Salvanto come in and kind of show you why the poll, they're going to push abortion and all that, but they're going to show you exactly why the polls Biden is failing and Trump is on the rise, and they're trying to make excuses for it. But you know the reason is that's what the people want, because they do remember things being better under Trump.
the former president with a 4-point edge over the current president among likely voters nationwide. That is Trump's largest general election lead yet in our surveys this cycle. Joining us now is our executive director of elections and surveys, Anthony Salvanto. Anthony, good to have you here. So our polling has shown perceptions of the economy have been improving. So why isn't that helping Joe Biden?
Because it's the comparison that people are making between how they rate the economy today and what they remember it being during the Trump years. And it's remembering is the key word there. I specifically asked, how do you remember it? And 2/3 of voters say they remember it being good, which is also interesting because if you go back and look at the polling from that time, people did in fact rate it good in 2018, 2019, but then views of the economy cratered after the pandemic and the shutdowns. And it doesn't seem like they're remembering that part of it here, but that's the reality today. So it's that comparison that isn't holding up for the White House, number one. And then number two, you push that forward and ask, well, whose policies might make prices go down? And there's a lot of Republicans who think that prices will go down if Donald Trump gets elected. But what's troubling for Joe Biden is that you still get him associated with price increases, because a lot of people think the prices would continue to go up under his policies. That's why.
Memory is an interesting thing, isn't it? Anthony, the campaign is leaning heavily into issues of democracy, access to voting, even calling Donald Trump a threat to democracy itself. Why isn't that helping the Biden campaign?
Well, that's in the electorate's mind, but it's kind of priced in at this point, in this sense. You get a majority of Americans that do think that the former president tried to stay in office past his constitutional term. The ones who think that his approach to that was illegal, which is just under half, are in fact voting for Joe Biden. But everybody else, the ones who think he was following constitutional processes or wasn't planning to stay, they're all ready to return Donald Trump to office. So that split in many ways kind of defines not just the race, but also where we are as a country right now. Maybe it moves a little bit as the trials go forward. Maybe if there's a conviction, certainly something to watch. But net net, you get about an even split between Biden and Trump right now on who would do best at keeping democracy safe.
Democrats are putting reproductive rights front and center in this campaign, betting that it will drive turnout among voters across party lines who are just concerned about this issue. Is that a safe bet?
So there is a majority that feels that the overturn of Roe v. Wade was bad for the country. But what's interesting to me is this difference between then who blames Donald Trump for that, which is what the Biden campaign is trying to do.
And I've loved kids jumping on my lap.
There you go. Yeah, they keep trying pushing abortion and IVF and all these other side issues that nobody really cares about. It's mostly about the economy, stupid. That's just the way it is. And Biden is losing. And again, they have these polls, but if you take the margin of error, 3%, and you add it to Trump in all those different polls, they were significantly higher. So you have to not only look as a margin of error as the leader losing, but the leader also gaining, which in this case is Trump. So that's what we're seeing in the election coming up more and more, is that people just understand that Trump had a better presidency his first term. They were lulled into believing something that wasn't true about President Trump and fooled into believing something about Biden. The fact that Biden was going to reunite the country or some other bullshit. It's more tyranny of the establishment, the established entities and institutions that are so full with career politicians and minions that they're not working to, even though they swear an oath to uphold the Constitution, they just don't do it. They're not thinking about, we live in a republic and this is, you know, ruled by the people. You have to defer to what the people want all the time. It's just not the case. All right, so for me, don't forget to like, subscribe, leave a comment, and follow the podcast. I won't be in tomorrow. Got something else I got to do all day tomorrow. Not a fun thing, unfortunately, but I'm going to be out of the office, so to speak. So catch up with me on Wednesday. And I'll try to get the live stream going a little bit earlier. I tried to do it at 11. Couldn't get it going this morning. I had a bunch of stuff to do. So it is up now. So see you Tuesday. Oh, I won't see you tomorrow probably. So I doubt we'll have a Tuesdays with Perry either. I'll have to double check. I'll be pretty busy all into the evening. But if not Tuesday night for Tuesdays with Perry, I'll see you Wednesday. Peace out.
This is a conspiracy.
New World Order. The New World Order.